Well, the man who says that in the future, I will become Dexter Monterey, a international talk show host. And then in the 35th century, Dr. Bruce Goldberg says that I will become Zior, a psychic researcher who assists time travelers. And I live to the ripe old age of 800. Well, I wish I could take some of the 800 and keep it now, but I don't know if I can. Psychic attacks, how to prevent them. Most psychic attacks originate from negative people. We call them energy vampires and noise pollution. However, the most dangerous assaults come from black magic, poltergeists, and demonic entities and cause many of the neuroses, the physical ailments, and bad luck that we experience. In a moment, Dr. Bruce Goldberg, as we talk about his six-step plan for psychic self-defense. Later on, we'll also talk about reincarnation, all that and more on Coast to Coast AM. Dr. Bruce Goldberg holds advanced degrees in dentistry and counseling psychology. He conducts a thriving international hypnotherapy practice in Los Angeles that specializes in reincarnation, time travel, consciousness raising. In 1987, he was inducted into the International Hypnosis Hall of Fame. He has conducted more than 35,000, my gosh, past life regressions and future life regressions in over 14,000 patients since 1974. His first book, Past Lives, Future Lives, was the very first book ever written on taking patients into future lives. His next book, The Search for Grace, was made into a CBS movie. In his latest book, Time Travelers from Our Future, he presents some of his patients who report abductions by futuristic time travelers, some of which are ETs from 1,000 to 3,000 years in the future. So there are lots to talk about with Dr. Bruce Goldberg. Hey, Bruce, how are you?
I'm fine, George, and thank you for your kind introduction and, of course, the privilege to reincarnate on Coast to Coast. I want to also thank you for including me in Worker in the Light. I appreciate your description of my Work Without a Body experiences. And just a little introduction. Tonight and this morning, we're going to discuss and how to recognize and eliminate psychic attacks and safely travel out of the body through the fifth dimension. We'll also discuss, because of the fifth dimensional mentality, we're going to discuss a little bit about teleportation and later on about time travelers and how to attract a soulmate by using these psychic protection techniques to attain any goal you want, from abundance to relationships to eliminating habits and phobias and all kinds of fun stuff. And in addition, now, you know, when we do the shows, I always like to give people my website has all these free exercises about how people can do these things. Now, my website is now more like a little YouTube. I've got 13 videos on there which show actual hypnosis sessions with my patients to show these techniques being manifested, including a time traveler contactee and a woman overcoming or removing or me helping her to remove a psychic attack on television that was done several years ago here in Southern California. These are all available on the website. You can see where it says three videos of actual hypnosis sessions. They run about 2 or 3 minutes apiece. And one of them on there is The Past Life of Jerry Springer.
Now tell me about this.
Oh, yeah, seriously, yeah, Jerry's right on there. He's when I was on his show, this is before he had the trailer trash fights on his TV show, you know.
the strange show, as I call it.
Yes, this was done several years ago. Jerry was taken back. He was very skeptical. You know, Jerry's an attorney by background, and he's got a journalism, and of course, his work in Cincinnati as a mayor, former mayor, and city council, et cetera. Well, what happened was that he regressed. He was very nice to do this, and he regressed to an English life in the 16th century. He was like a knight patrolling the outskirts of London back in the 16th century, the early 16th century. His name was John, and one day his fellow knights, see a proverbial damsel in distress, and she's being attacked by these swordsmen. Now, John, or Jerry Springer as John, was outnumbered by these swordsmen. So, of course, when you're outnumbered and you're fighting with swords, you're not going to do well in the battle. What happened, he was very significantly severely wounded, but the girl was saved. The swordsmen went away. The girl eventually takes him into a local castle where she was living, working like as some sort of a maid or something, and took care of him for the rest of his life. He didn't live that long, but she nursed him. So she literally extended his life. He saved her life. The reincarnation aspect of this is that the woman that he saved, who eventually helped him, is now his current life daughter.
Now that is incredible.
Yeah, that's what Jerry told me on the air, and you can see about 2 minutes of that on the clip. So it's cute. It was well done, and Jerry was actually a real class act about it. He was very.
Well, he is. You know, the only thing I don't agree with him in that his trailer trash formula is that there's a lot of people, hardworking people, who can't afford anything other than a trailer. And I've met Jerry 3 times now in my life, and once I tried to tell him that, but yeah, I tried to say, Jerry, they're not all that way. There's a, you know, if you go through a mobile home park, some of them look as nice as some apartment complexes.
Well, the other thing, yeah, of course, so some of them actually, you're quite right. The problem is not the interior of the trailer. The problem is the kind of people, the genre that he's, first of all, it doesn't help.
It's the interior of the people.
Yeah, well, exactly. It doesn't help trying to fight domestic violence when you see people fighting on television getting their 15 minutes of fame, number one.
No, it is. But you know what? People watched the show. They watched it. That's what they wanted, and that's what they got.
Well, the reason why that happened was, I know his producers. What happened was that the ratings were terrible. When he started doing that, the ratings went up, and he became like the number one talk show for a while. So it was a matter of just simply ratings and money. You know the rule, okay? So,
unfortunately. Now, let me ask you this, Bruce, and then, of course, we'll get into a lot of things we're talking about. Why would people be so fascinated by watching that?
Well, because people, this is why soap operas have always been popular from radio to television, is because people like to see other people being more miserable than they are. No, I'm quite serious. Why do people?
Really?
Well, look at that. Of course, this is, you know, you're in Southern California here. Look at people.
Well, right now I'm in St. Louis, is weird, by the way. You're in California. You're in the L.A. area. Every time you're on the show from Los Angeles, I'm back in the Midwest in St. Louis. It's strange. I'm hiding from you, Bruce.
Well, we have to change that here. Okay. Maybe we could do a book sign together. Okay. How's that?
I'd like to do that. That would be fun. But anyways, so you say people like to see other people who are more miserable than they are.
For example, you notice now when you are in Southern California, when I'm out of town, I guess. You ever notice that when you see a traffic accident on the freeway, people or a local one in a small street, let's say necessarily the freeway, people stop and gawk, don't they?
A traffic backs up only because, not because of the accident, but because of the people who are slowing down to watch it.
Right. So my point is that, isn't that what you see? You see people, why do you think like these shows, when like these Fear Factor shows or all these shows when people are humiliated, people like this, with all due respect to human nature, okay, and I love people, but I'm also a realist about it too. People like to see people saying, you know something, that person's life is worse than mine, so hey, I think I'll watch it.
I'm okay. If that person's life is worse than mine, I'm doing okay. Why do people laugh when someone trips, let's say, and falls on their face?
Because,
and they don't laugh because it's funny, but they laugh because their body makes them laugh. Why?
Well, it is funny to them because, remember, it's interpretation by the brainstem here. The reason why it's funny to them is because, A, it's not them. B, it's like a Three Stooges episode, right?
I saw two guys in New York about 4 years ago. And they were obviously buddies, and they both had their back to a pole, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And they were going to turn around, and the one guy moving at a rapid pace 2 feet away from the pole obviously didn't know he was in front of it. He turned around, and I guess it was out of focus to him. He didn't see it. Bruce, he went flat into this pole, full steam, from a 2 foot distance. His buddy laughed his tail off while this other guy was withering in pain. That's not funny.
Well, but first of all, the guy in pain did not think it was funny, number one. He probably wanted to kill the other guy. I mean, maybe he didn't get violent with him, but he's probably saying, you know, you son of a gun, I wish that if it happened to you, what do you think you would do if I did what you're doing to me right now, right?
Yeah.
Think about it. So the thing is that, again, it's unfortunate, but it's sort of like the old commercials about making fun of brand X, you know, comparing a product, knocking somebody else's product to build you up. Or in politics, negative ads always do better than positive ads, right?
Well, I guess when you use the analogy of people like to watch other people who are in misery, how many people would watch someone who is doing better than them?
Well, you know, I mean,
because that happens sometimes, like these game shows, this new one, Deal or No Deal, with Howie Mandel.
Or Bill Shatner, Show Me the Money, right?
Yeah,
right,
people like to see people.
Look, this goes back to the old 50s game shows like 21 and all those shows where people like to see people sweat and then win. Right?
Maybe they don't want them to win, though, Bruce. Maybe they want to just see them lose and pick the wrong suitcase or something.
I think what they wanted was a personality thing. They wanted that if the champion isn't popular, if they didn't like them, if they didn't like the personality, they wanted the challenger to beat them, or the champion to, if they like the personality. Sort of like in politics, if they like the personality, they don't care. They don't know what they represent. They just vote for them. But the point is that I do think that people on one level do like to see people. I think people like their favorite ball teams to win, and certain, you know, people, certain celebrities, the people who follow celebrities and like to see them empower themselves, whatever. But at the same time, when it comes to the average person, people you don't know, like somebody watching a car accident, people like to feel superior. And the way they feel superior is either materialistically or behaviorally with something going on to the other person that isn't going on to them.
Don't you think most people want other people to fail?
Well, unfortunately, I wish I could argue with you, but I would have to agree with you, because I do feel that's a, now this is what we're talking about tonight, is the insecurities is the number one factor that brings on psychic attack, that makes people vulnerable. So in other words,
true.
If you go through life kind of wishing that the other guy got hurt, that's not, you'll see that this is not universal laws. The law of attraction, the energy you send out is what you get. And I will also bring up your case that you very nicely described in Worker in the Light about when you did a little psychic attack yourself. Remember with the young
it was my. It was an experiment, Bruce.
It was an experiment, but it was one that illustrated. Actually, I'm really glad you put it in the book, because it shows, number one, I think you're really cool to talk about it. But secondly, you also bring up a humongous principle that I want to illustrate tonight about why you don't wish negativity on other people, even if you think your mentality or the thought is good, that you're trying to help someone. There are certain things you don't do. Those are universal laws, and we'll discuss that, because that's a biggie. That will actually help people to avoid a lot of potential problems in your life that they're
absolutely
probably facing
right now. To talk about tonight. Psychic attacks. First of all, your definition of that.
Okay. Psychic attacks, very simply, represent an attack of invisible forces. What this really represents is most psychic attacks originate from negative people. We talk about the energy vampires, et cetera. But what it represents is negative energy in the universe that originates from what we call the astral plane. This is the fifth dimension again, which is why we're going to talk about that. And this is an attack on your very soul, or we would use the word subconscious, by these invisible forces, which represent negative energy. And your auric field that surrounds your body, that is a fifth-dimensional energy field, if you will, if there is a hole or openings in that auric field, then you can allow this negative energy to affect you negatively, which will cause a lot of problems. Tonight we're going to discuss how you can actually seal that auric field by using your higher self and by certain exercises that we'll talk about, so that you can protect yourself like a guardrail shield in an old toothpaste commercial, so that no matter what people are projecting against you or no matter what negativity is generally around in the universe, you will be invulnerable to it. A person who is an energy vampire to an unprotected person is, to me, an annoying person, but doesn't affect me, other than the fact that I recognize they're annoying. To a person who's unprotected, that person will be depressed, have all kinds of bad luck and all kinds of psychic attack symptoms that we'll discuss that can be very, very serious. So but interestingly enough, 90% of psychic attack is from normal forces, are from like things like, you know, loud TV commercials, used car commercials, people yelling and screaming about the best political party, the best religion, the best football team, all this, people trying to just, you know, spout their opinions, but in a way which they're trying to convince you and maybe manipulate you. That's 90% of psychic attack. 10% represents things like black magic, poltergeist, ghosts, if you will. We'll talk about those with some case histories. And, of course, the demonic attacks, which are very, very rare. The exorcist mentality is extremely rare.
Really? I would think that would be the predominant one, but it's not, huh?
Well, if that was the case, then every time you watched the 11 o'clock news, you'd see a little girl spinning her head with split bee soup coming out of her mouth. I mean, it doesn't happen, okay? I mean, right. How many exorcisms has the Catholic Church documented? About 65 in the last 200 years. You know?
Maybe, at the most.
Yeah. So how many times do you have, well, for example, the term that you use, you like to use the word shadow people, okay?
Yes.
Well, one of the characteristics of a psychic attack, one of the symptoms is when you feel somebody's watching you, but you can't see anyone. When you turn around real fast, you see a silhouette, that a blacker than black silhouette that quickly disappears. That's what you would call a shadow person. In reality, what that is, well, it's more than a shadow person. It's a low-level demonic entity. That's a nasty entity. That entity wants to kill people. It won't kill you, but it wants to hurt you, and it wants you to have a really bad day. And that's one of the classic symptoms of a psychic attack. Other symptoms, now, you understand, when we talk about psychic attack, all medical tests are negative. So please, all the physicians out there, all my health professional colleagues, I understand about bipolar behavior and all the other stuff. We're not talking about that. We're talking about things where all the medical tests are negative.
True psychic attacks.
True. This is all based on negative energy factors causing the auric field, which is pierced, if you will, to be affected. All right, sexual impotency. Sexual dysfunction is a major issue today, not just because of Viagra sales, but because of fertility problems, fertility clinics. They've never been more popular. There's a reason for that. That is not natural in our species. If any other species had this problem, they'd be extinct. Fevers of unknown origin, even in cold weather, is really unknown medically, but it is a characteristic of a psychic attack. Loss of appetite, wasting away of the body, convulsions, rigidity of the arms and legs, a general dullness of the mind and senses. Now, of course, in Southern California, that's hard to differentiate from the average population, I understand. unnatural yellowness of the skin. This is for a Caucasian person by race who does not have hepatitis. That person should not have an unnatural yellowness of the skin. If you do, then you're looking at a psychic attack as a major aspect. Insomnia accompanied by severe nightmares. We'll learn about how the astral plane, your dream levels, are really, you can be drawn into the lower astral plane at night, which most people actually are, as I'll describe, and that's really the cause of why they wake up in the morning worse off than when they went to sleep, because they're actually being attacked at night, and they're very unprotected when they are.
What if somebody drinks too much? Do they open themselves up to psychic attacks?
This is called the law of attraction. If you drink too much, if you just you're very cynical, if you're skeptical, if you just run around hating the world, if you're a bigot or racist, any of those things, if you're Michael Richards, a little news story.
Good one, Bruce.
If you live in a world of negativity, then you are doing what's called the law of attraction. A lower astral entity will see only your auric field. And if you're sending out a hate energy or a cynical or negative mentality, your colors of your auric field are going to be dull, and they're going to be on you like a cheap suit. If you're more positive and empowered, they'll keep away from you because they can't get to you. So obviously you want to be more positive. A couple of other characteristics are hearing a vast array of unusual sounds, very loud sounds, which are always characteristic of a lower astral plane attack. Receiving telepathic communication of you to harm yourself. You notice how when people hear voices, the psychotics, if you will, that we call them schizophrenics, whatever, it doesn't say, like, drink your juice and eat plenty of fruits. It's usually go out and jump off the bridge, you know?
Those are
characteristic of a psychic attack.
Or kill somebody.
Or themselves, the suicide or homicide.
Well let me ask you this, and we only got about a minute before the break, Bruce, and this is just a dynamic topic. Because I witnessed something this weekend, what would make someone who might imbibe too much to become an absolute demon? And then the next day, that person's okay. I have witnessed this on several occasions on several people now, mm-hmm. and I'm trying to figure out whether these people got possessed or there's some kind of trigger in their brain that causes this.
Well, obviously, you look at the personality. If it is, remember, alcohol reduces inhibitions. If the person normally is a milquetoast kind of person and is not capable of doing that, and all of a sudden they do that, if mm-hmm. you have a sudden change in behavior, that extreme, that is not part of their MO, their psychological profile, then you look for psychic attack as the issue, not the alcohol.
Really?
Really, yeah, really. Oh, it's a biggie. You don't see people change. Look, if people weren't so predictable, corporations would go bankrupt every day because they have to be able to understand the behavior of people, what their buying levels are and what they want. People do not change extremely. In fact, if they did, nobody would be a smoker or a drinker or an overeater. They'd get rid of it in a day, but they don't, do they?
What's your website, Bruce?
It's drbruce. GOLDBERG.com and 1-800-KARMA-4-U or 1-800-527-6248 if they don't have a computer for the toll-free number.
We'll be back with Dr. Bruce Goldberg in just a moment. I'm George Norrie. This is Coast to Coast AM. Hey, this holiday season, take advantage of this offer here. An old Art Bell classic series of interviews with the late Father Malachi Martin. One CD we gave out a couple years ago with an After Dark subscription. Now we found another program, and we're giving that out as well. So you will get two free CDs when you subscribe to the After Dark newsletter. Call 1-888-727-5505. That's 1-888-727-5505. Or you can go online at coasttocoastam.com.
Dr. Bruce Goldberg, our guest. Bruce, let's go through again some of the types of energy vampires that your patients have stumbled into.
Okay, now remember, these are normal people. When I say normal people, they're neurotic people, but they are people that do not sleep in coffins and drink blood. These are people you'll see on the streets, and you may be married to them. First type is called the robotic type. These are people that, remember, we're going to deal with the karmic aspect. In past lives, they were usually like the mayor of the local town. They were always the person who was in the country club. They were, their outer world is always perfect, but their inner world is denied. There's no core essence to this person. It's almost like a Universal Studios facade. They deny any kind of inauthentic behavior, or they always like smile, say the right thing, and they never complain about the world, but you just know you're not getting the real person. You're getting like a politician's smile kind of thing. And these people will drive you crazy. If you're unprotected, they will drain you. That's what an energy vampire does. To a normal person, they're just annoying. To a protected person, they're annoying. To an unprotected person, they will drain your energy. Now, the by the way, the robot person will have a high-paying job, a good reputation, the perfect family, and look on perfect health, et cetera. So they give you the impression that everything is fine. The reality of it is it's not really cool. The insecure types, there's three different kinds of insecure types. The first type is called the ethereal type. In past lives, these were people who were usually persecuted for their metaphysical beliefs. They may have been burnt at the stake for witchcraft or whatever. They may have been just imprisoned as slaves. And they tend to leave their body to escape the misery of life. So today, these are the kind of people that always acting irresponsible. They're either late for appointments, or they can't decide what to have for lunch without consulting their numerologist, right, astrologer, and their runes people. You know what I mean? Okay. This is the ethereal type, the Venice Beach type, as we would say in Southern California. The second type of
you're alienating a lot of people tonight, Bruce.
Well, there are good, empowered people in Venice Beach, and there are people who are, you know, I mean, they're good artists. I have a lot of friends and patients down there. All right. Now, the insecure type, the pure insecure type, is their problem is...
This is number three?
This is number three. Their problem is nurturance. In past lives, they were abandoned, didn't have enough food, they starved to death. So they tend to overcompensate. So they're almost always overweight now. They engage you in long, boring conversations, and they speak very softly. You always have to ask them to speak up. They come across as helpless, and they're always asking for you to do things for them, all right? And, of course, they're a compulsive personality, so they may overdrink and overeat, definitely. And
over everything, whatever they do.
Over everything, yeah. Compulsive. Then there is the passive-aggressive type is one of these people who are, again, in past lives, they were slaves in the usual mentality. But what they do is they aggressively ask you for your assistance, but then they go, yes, but, when you try to help them. In other words, it's approach avoidance. They constantly request your advice, but they never follow through, and they constantly come up with reasons as to why they can't follow through, and then, of course, they'll bother you with the same issue the next time you see them, you see? So they never grow. This is the passive-aggressive behavior, passive-aggressive type. The last type is the worst one, the one you don't really want to deal with. This is the paranoid type. The paranoid type was usually a warrior in a past life, some sort of soldier or some person, and they're fighting their battles hundreds of thousands of years ago today. They're the kind that will not only want to beat you and not only want to argue with you, but they want to humiliate you. These are people who are distrustful of other people. That's why they're paranoid. They constantly pick fights. They're very seductive. They're very attractive people. They're in great physical shape, but they're incapable of any kind of long-term relationship. All they're capable of doing is arguing with you, like almost like a used car salesman approach. They're very obsessive, compulsive, and they're quite healthy physically, but they live in a distorted world where everybody is the enemy, and that includes you. And even if you agree with them, they won't respect you, and they'll do their same thing over and over again.
Why do they do this? This one fascinates me.
It's karmic, because if you were like a Roman soldier, Greek soldier, whatever, in past lives, and you were just, you know, those who live by the sword die by the sword. You know the mentality here? If you were doing that over and over again, then you will come back reincarnate with a natural talent, just like artists and musicians and people who are great thinkers, scientists. They've had past lives. Mozart did not have a past life as a ditch digger, you know? I mean, there is a tendency to have a theme, just like your future lives, when we did your two future lives as Dexter and
Xenor.
Xenor were involved with psychic protection. This is why this topic is what I chose this for tonight, because it's actually related to your karmic purpose. You were very much involved, especially as Xenor, in developing psychic protection techniques that will be used by time travelers when they do teleportation in the 35th century. So this is a real biggie with you on that level. So these are the energy vampires. Now, once you use the protection techniques, and again, for your listeners, I also, on my website, there are five exercises. One of them is the psychic protection from negativity, which is they can download it right from the website, and they can do that themselves. If they don't have a computer and they call my 1-800-KARMA-FOR-YOU number or the 800-527-6248, I will send them one of my fifth-dimensional travel exercises, which includes a psychic protection, a white light protection prior to the actual exercise itself. The first 200 callers that call on the 800 number will also get the access to the Akashic Record exercise, which is the exercise that's also on the website that I use to get your two future lives. You can actually use that to go into the past or future of yourself as well as other people and do that too. So, but please, if you have a computer, don't call. Everything's on the website. I'd like the people to only who don't have a computer, because it saves my staff time, and of course everything is on the computer in greater detail. Now, the energy vampires are important because what I just mentioned, these five types, the three insecure types, the insecure, the passive-aggressive, the ethereal, the robotic, and the paranoid, I'm sure you can relate to those people in your life, and I guarantee you every single of your millions of listeners out there can also relate to people that are in their life or have known and probably do know now that fit into at least one, if not more, of these categories.
What percent of the population fits into one of these five?
I'd say about 99.7.
Oh, you got to be kidding me.
Don't you? Look, at some time in your life, George, you're...
Are you saying that 99% of the American people or the people on this planet are psychic vampires?
Well, no, this is what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that 99% of the population of this country, when they have a bad day, when they're needy, when they're in trouble, when they're frustrated, when they're angry, when they're aggravated, they can act as an energy vampire. I'm not saying they do it all the time, but, you know, people have bad days. They get, like, for example, your car breaks down, you're late for an appointment. All you want to do is grab somebody and get a battery jump. You know, you're not thinking of their needs, you're thinking of your own.
You're a road rager. Maybe you're a nice guy, but in your car and you become a demon.
Right, exactly. Remember the old Disney goofy commercial, the cartoon where he was the road rage, he was on his way to work.
Road rage.
Remember that one? Okay. That's people, again, or you're in a taxi cab in New York City or Chicago or any of these places in a hot summer day and the air conditioning isn't working. That doesn't bring out good behavior in people.
Yeah. Okay. And the cabbie's yelling at you.
And you don't even understand the language, right?
Okay. Have you ever been in a cab, by the way, and the guy argues with you?
Yeah. Well, try that with me. Actually, it doesn't work with me. A cab will do that, and I will say, listen, your tip is reflected upon the conversation. So shut up and drive.
If they understand what you're saying.
Well, I face east when I say it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Bruce, you have now alienated everyone tonight.
Hey, it's take my lives, please. This is like, you know, you got to have a sense of humor in this field. In fact,
well, that's the thing. This is your sense of humor.
Right. People have to.
Of course, your sense of humor is a little better than Kramer's.
Yeah. Well, the Laugh Factory doesn't have a problem with me. But what I was talking about before, and this is very important now, is your average behavior. Now, there are universal laws out there. We call this the law of attraction. The energy you send out is what you get. So, again, if you are a positive person, and I don't mean stupid positive. In other words, I don't mean where you walk around and you ignore any possibility of negativity where people take advantage of you. That's not what I'm talking about. That's being a victim. I'm talking about being an empowered soul where you know what you're doing, you're accessing your higher self, which is what all my work and exercises and everything I do, all the CDs, everything I have on the site, all that's related to you becoming a psychically empowered individual.
And if a psychically powerful person, a positive person,
right, yeah,
is constantly bombarded by someone's negativity or a negative person constantly, who ends up winning in the long run?
Well, see, you're using winning, and I wouldn't say this. What happens is that the person, the psychic attacker, the energy vampire, whether they mean it or not, and sometimes they do mean it, the paranoids definitely mean it, I can tell you that, they will lose because they won't get their, not only will they lose because you won't be negatively affected if you follow these instructions and the exercises, but there's something called the shock and return. What happens now? And I'm going to give you a very interesting case, which is really, this is serious. This is heavy stuff. Right. This is like CSI Miami time here. What happens is that the shock and return means that you're sending out negative energy, and you will suffer, like, for example, your case when you were trying to help that young girl with all these energy vampires, all these hot shots and, you know, whatever. And you protected her, but at the same time, you thought negatively of these other people. Their lives had all kinds of misfortunes, and then you
suffered
yourself.
Don't give away my whole book, Bruce.
Okay. It's just four pages. All right. But you suffered yourself. You had some calamities, as you used the term that
it's,
you used.
It's a boomerang effect.
Okay, right. Now, what happens here is that, let me give you an example of what happened years ago. I was working with an ambassador from an African country in West Africa, in the western part of the continent. Now, West Africa is the origin of voodoo. So everybody from West Africa, I guarantee you, they know what voodoo is, right? All right, so this guy comes to me and his wife, he's about 45 years old, his wife is about 5 years younger than him, and he calls me up and says, Doctor, I read your first book, this was years ago, so it was Past Lives, Future Lives, and I'd like to talk to you, and my wife would like to see you about our issues. And he describes the issues, and I said, that's a psychic attack. He says, you just passed the test. Yes, you understand what that is. Can we see you? And I said, sure. So it was an emergency, so I saw them. And he describes a classic, all the symptoms of psychic attack, every single one of them. Him and his wife just were attacked. And I said, what is going on here? Who's attacking you? And he says, well, when he was chosen to be an ambassador by the governor of this country, the person who he beat out was the one who was obviously attacking him, right?
Right.
So we went through the protection techniques, right? Everything was, they were great patients. They were a classy couple, pleasure to work with, spoke perfect English, and everything was fine. Now he goes back. He says, by the way, doctor, I'm going to go back to the country, and I'm going to confront the guy that, you know, I know exactly where he is. And I said, please, no violence. The energy you send out is what you get. I don't want this to be a homicide situation. He says, no, I'm just going to confront him. And I said, okay, if you're going to confront him in an empowered way, fine. What happens is that because the person who was attacking him using really voodoo, black magic, and all kinds of techniques, because my patient was protected and so was his wife, now the guy who's attacking him is getting this electric shock coming back on him, which will facilitate and increase the aging process. By the time this gentleman met his attacker, who was the same age as him, by the way, in his mid-40s, he knocked on his door. This guy looked like an 85-year-old guy with white hair.
God.
He emaciated. He lost about 30 pounds. He looked like he was on death's door. He confronted him and said, where is so-and-so? He goes, that's me. And he started using language, which we won't discuss on the air.
I understand.
Being the attacker, anyway, was doing that. So finally he says, I got you. He says, you didn't get me. He says, I'm protected. He says, I'm going to keep on doing this until you die, which, of course, my patient was protected. Three weeks later, the attacker died of a heart attack.
A backfire. Hits him big time.
That's the extreme. Now, neither the patients, my patients, nor me are guilty of doing anything wrong here. Right? I'm just protecting the patient. But if you're really stupid enough to keep on it, it's like putting your hand on a stove, burning it, and then saying, I'll beat the stove, you know? I mean, you're not going to win that game. And this guy obviously died because of his obstinacy and his just pure evil, obsessive, compulsive, negative mentality. He just wanted to get that guy, and obviously he can't. So the universal laws will protect you, and people who are attacking you may become annoying, but they won't get their way if you follow these simple techniques.
Did your client end up getting better or looking better after the guy passed away?
Oh, yes. As a matter of fact, I saw him. He actually referred several of his friends to me, and he was in the D.C. area. I was in Baltimore at the time, so it was only 50 miles away. I saw him about 5 or 6 years later. This is shortly before I moved out here, and he looked great. His wife, especially, she looked like she was about 5 years younger. This was 5 years later. He lost weight. He looked great. He was in great shape, and of course, he made a lot of referrals to me. But more importantly, he was emotionally and spiritually happy and fulfilled. That he because remember, you can imagine being an ambassador in D.C. from an African country and trying to, you know, you're under a lot of pressure. I mean, I've worked with ambassadors. That is not a fun job. They may eat a lot of shrimp cocktails, but let me tell you something. You're under a tremendous amount of pressure.
Ah, but they have diplomatic immunity, though, yes. Dr. Bruce.
Yes, and they need it sometimes, too. Okay, you know that, right? All right.
Yeah, that's true.
But so my point is that his life improved, and what I'm saying is that if you want to be a happy camper, if you want to do positive, see, positive thinking is not enough. You have to do positive thinking with raising your consciousness, and the only way I know practically to do that is to access your higher self. And that's what all the techniques are designed to do. And in fact, let me tell you.
All right,
something.
Let's give me an example.
Well, okay. Well, basically, for example, like on my website, there's a nice little technique called the psychic protection from negativity. And just think about this. Just think about some of the words here. Imagine that your body is a honeycomb, and you are so porous that any energy coming towards you will flow through you without affecting you in any way. So you keep your attention focused on that image. And now you visualize a trap behind this honeycomb, and this receptacle traps any form of negative energy and immediately neutralizes it. Now you mentally visualize as accurately as you can all of the negative energy you are exposed to in whatever situation you're involved in at this time, passing through your aura without affecting you in any way. This negative energy is now trapped in the receptacle and is immediately neutralized. This is like a scene from Ghostbusters, you know, remember that, with trapping the entities? So what you're doing here is you're getting rid of the negative energy. Now, the way to do this after that exercise, obviously, is to access the higher self or the superconscious mind, which is my superconscious mind tap technique. And that, of course, is on all the CD programs, et cetera, that I do that. The spiritual growth experience one especially is designed for this for the psychic protection and the self-defense. But my point here is that what you're doing is you're going to be in a situation where you're going to be a positive person. You can still be in a field that's complicated. You can be a salesman. You can be a politician. You can be a rock singer. You can be anything you want. But what you're going to do is you're going to feel better. You're going to slow down and reverse the aging process by doing this, contrary to what the energy vampire does, who accelerates his aging process. And once you feel better and look better and act better, guess what? It's not difficult to have a positive attitude if things are going well in your life, is it?
Not at all. How do people know that they're under psychic attack?
Well, the symptoms that I just described, all those like 14 symptoms I gave you, and basically bad luck is the other one. The one that we didn't cover was bad luck. For example, if you look at your life in a typical month, you may have certain negative things happen. You know, you may have a car starting problem or minor things. Maybe there's 5 or 6 or 8 things in a month.
But there are lots of them, a number of them,
okay,
right?
So let's say it's 20, okay? But one month you have 60 of them. You get audited, you get ticketed, you get somebody tries to, you know, you get into a gangbanger situation, whatever. You get into all kinds of extreme, the odds against that are so high, now you're under a psychic attack. That's one of the characteristics. And you add a few of the other symptoms that I described with the nightmares and all the, you know, the other things, the unusual sounds, the silhouettes and that kind of stuff. And now you're talking about things that are not in your, and of course there's no medical issues going on. Now the only other option is psychic attack. Because to me it's either medical or it's a psychic attack or an energy attack. There's nothing in between. I don't believe in a psychological issue. I believe that's an energy issue.
And you really believe that people as individuals, of course, you know I do believe this, but do you believe then they can fight this off successfully?
Well, of course, that's what the show is all about. That's what we're doing tonight. We're talking about that's what my Spirit Guide Contact book, the Protected Bible Life book, the CDs, the exercise, that's what this is all about. If it wasn't, then you might as well just, you know, people would just kill themselves if they couldn't get away from this. In fact, the reason, the origin of psychic attack was based upon, in the old days, the evil sorcerers from the old shamanic tribes in Siberia and Russia, where this all began 50,000 years ago, was to get people to commit suicide so they could take their land and their booty. If they couldn't commit suicide, then fertility was the other issue, which is why we have fertility problems today. If your enemies are barren, within a generation, you walk over and take their land, or you have them commit suicide. That's the fastest way. It's a very difficult way, but it actually has worked. In fact, Joan Halifax has done research on this in the 1970s. She's a medical anthropologist in the Haiti and Dominican Republic and those islands to show that hex death is what she calls actually does work. It's scientifically documented.
An hour blows past us here, Dr. Bruce. We'll be back with you in just a moment. And the last hour, we're going to open up the phone lines to those of you who have questions for Dr. Bruce, including a psychic vampire line. I'll be back.